Hi everyone, and happy New Year. So we took a 1 week break from our devotions altogether last week, and we had a 4 week break with Advent devotions. So it's been 5 weeks now since we've been in the Gospel of John, but we are back today. Now you probably don't remember the last John devotional, but we're going to pick up where we left off, and we'll talk a little bit about where we left off after we read the passage for today. So the passage is John chapter 14, verses 25 through 31. These things I have spoken to you while I'm still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced, because I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here. All right, so as a refresher, and to also frame the context of this passage, Jesus here, he had been speaking for a while, it seems, to his disciples, and this is at the Last Supper. So Jesus had washed his disciples' feet. He told them about how he would be betrayed. Judas had just left to actually go betray Jesus, and Jesus also foretells about Peter denying him. And it's not said explicitly necessarily here in John, but we know that Jesus in general has been talking about his death, the betrayal, abandonment, all this kind of stuff that was to come. Now, at the beginning of John 14, Jesus tells us, or he tells, sorry, his disciples, to not let their hearts be troubled. And there's some, like, he tells them this because there's reason for them to feel troubled because of these things that Jesus is telling them. But Jesus comforts his disciples. He comforts them. And there's two important things that he tells them that should have been at least comforting to them. First, he told them at the beginning of this chapter that he is preparing a place for them in his Father's house. Remember, Jesus says he's the way, the truth, and the life, and he is the way to the Father. He's telling his disciples that there's a room for them there, that they're welcome with the Father. The second thing that is meant to comfort them, he says in verse 16. We didn't read this, but he tells them, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. And he goes on to say that he will dwell in them and be with them. The second comfort for these disciples is the Holy Spirit. And so that leads us to our passage today. Jesus just told them about this helper, this Holy Spirit, and he's telling them again. He's telling them again that the helper God would send to them. God is going to send, I'm going to go to the Father, and the Father will send in my name the helper who will be with you. And he says that like this Holy Spirit would teach them and bring to remembrance the stuff that Jesus says. So in a sense, like if they forget what Jesus says, don't worry, the Holy Spirit will remind you these things. But probably as important is that the Holy Spirit would guide them and would teach them as they strived, as they would later strive to follow Jesus. And so this is all important. This is necessary in this context, because as the disciples were in this situation, their hearts were being troubled. Right? We mentioned that here, right? And Jesus says again, actually in verse 27, don't let your hearts be troubled, because there was plenty of reason for their hearts to be troubled. What Jesus is telling them, and even interwoven in this passage, sounds a little chaotic. He's telling them that he's going to leave, that he won't be with them for much longer. He won't talk with them much longer. He tells them the ruler of this world is coming even. But Jesus, in the midst of all this, he is comforting them. He's reassuring them by promising them a helper and promising them peace. Now, this is before all the chaos happens, but the promise is you're going to have a helper, and my peace I will give to you. This helper and this peace would come in very handy when that chaos, when those troubles come. Now, one thing I realized with this helper and this peace, both terms feel a little weak in some ways. helper sounds kind of weak. It sounds like, oh, someone that's just kind of like an add-on. And that kind of points to our view typically in the church in America, especially our view of the Holy Spirit is kind of weak too. I said this once in a sermon that I think we can think of the Holy Spirit sometimes like getting guacamole at Chipotle. And like, yeah, I think most of us want guacamole. We all like guacamole unless we're allergic. But we know it's not necessary, right, to have a good burrito bowl. We'll still enjoy a burrito bowl without it. We kind of think of the Holy Spirit like that in our walk with God. But one thing we should recognize, as a helper, right, that term helper sounds weak, but God is also called helper in the Old Testament. And we have to recognize that the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit, God is with us. And he's with us through the trials and the troubles of life. And it's not just like when things are hard, but specifically, especially when things are hard as we seek to follow God, seek to follow Jesus, the Holy Spirit will teach us and guide us in those times. This is our comfort in those times of trouble. The other word I mentioned that Jesus talks about here is peace. Now, peace, as the world defines it, and Jesus kind of alludes to that here, not peace as the world gives to us. This is a much deeper peace. Peace in most of our minds sounds like the absence of war or conflict or like not being anxious. But that's a kind of a weak definition because a true biblical peace goes way beyond that. It's a picture of blessing. It's a picture of flourishing, of being with God. All of this peace, this flourishing, this goodness that we experience and flows from us comes to being in relationship with God. Even in, or maybe even especially in the world where there are trials and there are struggles. This is what Jesus was promising his disciples. And this is what he promises to us as well, is that we have a helper. We have the Holy Spirit. God himself will dwell within us, will guide us, teach us, help us to remember the words of Jesus. And as we're with the Holy Spirit, as we're with God, we will have peace. We will be blessed. We will be a blessing even. We will flourish. One of the realities that Jesus points to is that while we're on this side of heaven, there is going to be troubles. We're going to struggle. It's not going to be even easy to follow Jesus. It's not easy to follow Jesus right now. But we have a helper. And we have his peace. Let's pray that we can experience more of that. We'll tap into that fullness, the power of God within us, the Holy Spirit, and that we'll have peace and blessing as we follow him. Now let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for the gift of yourself, and we thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I pray for our minds and our hearts to see and understand you, Spirit, as you are, as God, as all-powerful. And I pray that we will live in the reality of your power, and that we'll have peace, that we won't have anxiety, that we won't have be suffering under conflict. But much deeper than that, we pray for blessings. We pray that we can have this kind of peace that is so evident to the world that we are blessed by you, Jesus. Help us, God. Remind us, Holy Spirit, of your goodness and your love. Bless us this day. In Jesus' name we pray.